We'll be looking at Acts 24, verses 22 through 27. So just a few verses there right at the end of the chapter, finishing out chapter 24 and the story of Felix. Well, they say that patience is a virtue. And yet, some of us may struggle to obtain that virtue. When I was in university in South Carolina, I had a friend named Joel. Joel liked this one particular girl, and so they weren't quite dating yet, but they had gone on a date together for dinner. And I walked up to the dining hall, and there's a clock tower right outside, and I saw Joel there standing by the clock tower, so I went up and said hello, and I asked him what he was doing, and he said, "Oh, I'm waiting for Sarah." That was the girl. I said, "Okay." He said, "Yeah, she's late, been waiting here for about 30 minutes. I said, "Oh, you sure she's going to come?" "Oh, yeah, she'll come." Okay. So I went in, and I had dinner, and was probably in there for about 45 minutes, and came back out, and Joel was still standing by the clock tower. I said, "Still waiting, Joel?" He said, "I'm still waiting." I said, "Man, I don't think she's going to come." And he said, "I'm going to wait for her." Well, the next day I saw him and asked him if she came. Nope. He waited there 2 or 3 hours for her. They ended up getting married. Okay, that's the end of the story. But that was a man with patience. Patience is a virtue. You know, we have a patient God. And for those of us who might think that that's an incredibly long time to wait for someone, it is nothing in comparison to how our God waits for us. God is so patient with us. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Word of God says, "God is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And today we're going to look at a man with whom God was patient, but who ultimately rejected God. Okay, I told you the story of my friend Joel, and God is far more patient than that, far more patient than you've ever been, or far more patient than you've ever had to be. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "God is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And so today in Acts 22, we're going to look at a man with whom God was patient, but who ultimately rejected God. God waits for sinners. God waits for sinners. What a joy that he waits for sinners, because if he didn't wait for us, we'd all be doomed. And yet he's patient toward us. You remember the parable that talks about the workers in the field? And some of the workers, went out early in the day, and some came midday, and some came later in the day, and they show up for their money, and what do they get? The workers earlier in the day get a lot more money? No. They all got the same wage. And folks, whether or not you were saved at a young age or midlife or later in life, you get the same eternal life. You get the same eternal life. And God was patient with you. And so that's the point. We just want to thank Jesus for his patience toward us in offering the gospel to us. The title of the sermon this morning is "Fair Weather Felix, Part 2, Go Away, God." Would you look with me, please, at verse 22 of Acts chapter 24. "But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, 'When Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case.' Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody, but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. Now, if you remember that Paul, when he was able to finally give his defense before Felix, was actually cheerful. He was joyful that he could give his defense before this specific governor of Judea. And the reason that he was glad about that is because Felix had been governor of Judea for some time, and he knew all about the Jews and the leadership in Jerusalem and their character or lack thereof. And he knew all about the way, which is a proper noun for what we might call Christianity. And so Paul was glad for that, because he knew that Felix would see right through the accusation of the Jews. Now, what had the Jews accused Paul of? They had accused him of being a plague, they had accused him of being a ringleader, and they accused him of profaning the temple or going against the Mosaic law. Well, Paul's cheerfulness that Felix was overseeing his case came to fruition here in verse 22 when Felix puts the case on hold. And so Felix says, oh, hold up, case is on hold. I'm putting it on hold until Lysias comes. And then he sends the Jews away, and he gives orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody but have liberty. And so this wasn't a terrible prison situation. Paul's friends were allowed to come visit him. He was likely able to bathe each day. Perhaps he was even able to go out of Herod's praetorium with an escort of soldiers. And so he could still avail himself of some creature comforts. Now, as we work through this passage, you're going to find out that this was just an excuse that Felix gave. Let's wait till Lysias gets here, because Felix has no intention of talking with Lysias. The only reason he said that is he wanted to satiate the Jews by keeping Paul in prison. Lysias doesn't know how to solve this problem. See, the issue is there was a lot of angst between the Jews and the Romans in this time. And especially under Felix, there was a good deal of angst. And so if Felix releases Paul because he knows he's innocent, now the Jews are going to be very angry. But if Felix turns Paul over, he's going against his own morals and ethics, knowing that Paul is not worthy of death. So he doesn't really know what to do. So he makes up this excuse, well, let's just wait for Lysias, and then he just keeps Paul in custody. So he basically just kicks the can down the road, doesn't have to decide. But the first truth that I want you to see that God reveals to this pagan, unbelieving Roman governor named Felix is this: the gospel is defensible. The gospel is defensible. Felix knows that. Remember, Felix has an accurate knowledge of the way. Felix knows what Christianity is and what it is not. Felix knows what Christianity teaches and what it does not. Felix knows that it is the Jews who are stirring up riots, not the Christians. Felix knows that the gospel is not a plague. Felix has had enough time to observe the first church of Jerusalem led by James. And he knows that the gospel, the way, is blameless. He knows that the way wasn't about revolution. He knows that the way wasn't about rioting. He knows that the way wasn't about irreverence. The gospel is blameless. Felix has had the opportunity to observe Christians. Now, of course, you say, well, there's always hypocritical Christians. There's always Christians that are Christian in name only, but they don't live it out. Absolutely. But Felix has had a moment to observe the church, and he knows that these are people who seek to live holy, quiet lives in obedience, filled with joy. And that's why he sends the Jews away. God has revealed to Felix that the gospel is defensible, and that makes Felix want to take a closer look. Verse 24. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, notice that phrase there at the beginning of 24, after some days. The case has gone cold. It's a cold case. We don't know how many days have gone by, but it seems like several days have gone by since the case started. The case is cold, and Felix comes with his wife, Drusilla. Drusilla is a Jew, and they want to come talk to Paul, but there's a specific thing they're curious about. faith in Christ Jesus. Felix and Drusilla know, first of all, that the gospel is defensible, and so they're curious about it. Now they want to know more. Now, just a little background on Felix and Drusilla. Drusilla is Felix's third wife. Drusilla is the daughter of Herod Agrippa I. He was the one who was eaten by worms. And Drusilla's brother is King Agrippa II, who we'll see in Acts chapter 26. Now, Drusilla's a Jew, so it's understandable that she would be interested in what Paul has to say about Jesus. But Felix knows that the way is different, and so the testimony of Christians has caught his attention. Who is this Jesus that everyone's following? Why is he so important? And did he really rise from the dead? Perhaps even in Drusilla's mind, she's considering, could he have been Messiah? And so the second truth that God reveals about the gospel to Felix is this: the gospel is desirable. The gospel is first defensible, but the gospel is desirable. You know, there's a lot of curiosity about Christianity. You look throughout the Word of God and you see that all the time. Think the rich young ruler. What must I do to gain eternal life? How do I get into the way? Nowadays, people want to call themselves Christians. It's a label that they desire. In fact, some people, if you tell them they're not a Christian, will get angry and argue with you, even if they don't live it at all. They want to be known as Christians. The gospel is desirable. There were many in Israel when Jesus came who believed in him, but the Word of God says they didn't confess him because they feared men. Oh, they desired it, but they didn't confess him because they feared men. And so they come to Paul. They want to know, Felix and Drusilla want to know who this Jesus is. And so Paul tells them about faith in Christ. That means that Paul relayed to them the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the glorification of Christ. Can you imagine as Felix and especially as Drusilla are sitting there with Paul, and Paul takes them to Genesis 3:15? The snake crusher. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Drusilla, that's Jesus. Can you imagine as Paul takes Drusilla, who was 19 years old at the time here, through the entire Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and shows her Christ, shows her Jesus. He's the prophet like Moses. Can you imagine as Paul takes them through the Psalms and all of the prophecies about Jesus to Psalm 22 and says, all of that happened. As Paul takes them through King David and the promise that one would reign on his throne, as Paul takes them through the prophets and all of the messianic prophecies about Christ, some of which were fulfilled at his first coming. Felix and Drusilla had to be marveling. Friends, many have come to the gospel and marveled at it. Tasted it, seen its truth, even perhaps desired it. I've watched in churches that I've been in, and even in this very church, as someone comes in excited about knowing Christ, only to leave when it gets too hard. Only to leave when there's too much required of them. Friends, factual data about Jesus Christ is great. That's what Felix and Drusilla are getting here. Factual data about Jesus is great until it gets personal, verse 25. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." And so, friends, Paul moves from the factual to the personal. Oh, it's not so desirable now. And so now the third truth that God revealed about the gospel to Felix, the gospel has demands. The gospel has demands. There are three here in verse 25, three demands. Righteousness. Righteousness. Friends, we cannot earn our salvation by being righteous. But the gospel required that one God-man lived a perfectly righteous life and give himself for our sins. And the gospel demands that we as Christians walk in righteousness. It's not just factual data about Jesus. We must live holy lives. We must turn away from sin. And you know what the problem is? We kind of like our sin. Like the Bible says that sin is fun. Now I use the word fun, the word that you might remember is pleasurable. I just say sin is fun. I've told that to so many unbelievers and they agree with me. Yeah, it is. It kind of is. Yeah, it's pleasurable. It's fun. We like our sin. We don't know if we want this righteousness thing. But God demands holiness in our lives, Felix. God demands holiness in our lives, Drusilla. And people don't want to be told what to do. They want their sin. I had a coworker in Michigan named Tom, and we used to have many discussions about the Bible, and Tom declared that he was an atheist. And after 2 years, Tom came walking by my desk one day, and he said, "You know what? I think you convinced me." I said, "What did I convince you of?" He said, "I think I'm an agnostic now." Oh, that's not what I was looking for, Tom. But then he says to me, "I think what you convinced me of is that there is a God. There is a God." I said, "Tom, do you know why you're only going as far as agnosticism?" "Why?" "Because agnosticism said, well, there is a God, but we don't know anything about him." I said, "Tom, if you don't know anything about him, then there's nothing to be accountable for. But the moment you say that he's the God of the Bible, now you know you have to be accountable to him." And quietly, without a word, he walked away. Righteousness. Righteousness. The gospel demands righteousness in our lives. And Felix and Drusilla hear this, but then next, they're still in verse 25, self-control. What is self-control? Well, you might not be able to tell me what it is, but you can tell me what it's not. You know, there's two places you can go. You'll probably think of others, but there's two places you can go to see what self-control is not. One, you can go to a playground at recess. You go to a playground at recess, enough days in a row, you sit there and you watch when someone doesn't like something, they hit, scream, bite, throw rocks. A total lack of self-control. But there's another place that you can go. Sorry if you've been guilty of this, but there's another place you can go if you want to see a lack of self-control, and that's the comment section in social media, in a controversial social media post. If you want to see people with no self-control, just go read the comments of a controversial social media post. Friends, Felix and Drusilla were not models of self-control. First of all, this was Felix's third wife. But let me tell you a little background that Josephus lets us in on about Drusilla. Drusilla was betrothed at 14 years old to a king. That betrothal never took place. At 16 years old, She married the king of Emesa in Syria. And then Felix saw her. And Felix got help from a Syrian magician named Atomas to try to convince Drusilla to leave her husband and marry him against Jewish law. He convinced her. The Roman historian and politician Tacitus wrote of Felix that he, quote, exercised the authority of a king with the spirit of a slave, end quote. Felix had the high priest Jonathan assassinated. These were not people with self-control. And so Paul speaks with them about righteousness and self-control, but then of coming judgment. Oh, Felix, oh, Drusilla, if you do not bow yourselves before Jesus, he will return and judge each person according to what they have done. Oh, I don't make Felix sit up. If you are not his, you will be thrown alive into the lake of fire, what we call hell, to be tormented day and night forever. You know, I'll tell you, you can have factual data conversations about Jesus with people all day long, and they'll listen. Long conversations. Talk all about the Bible. But I was sitting in one of my coworkers' offices when I worked in Bellingham, Washington, and at work I was careful. If I was invited into a conversation about the Bible, I took the opportunity in a heartbeat. I didn't start the conversations, but people knew that I was a Christian. They knew that I was a pastor. And so one of my coworkers one day, Josh, he invites me into a conversation. He asks me a Bible question. I thought, oh, this is good. So I begin to answer it, and I move to the gospel. Friends, the moment that I made the statement that those who trust in Christ will be with him forever, and those who do not trust him will spend an eternity in hell, the conversation was over so fast. And in fact, once I said that, that gentleman went to another coworker and other coworkers and began saying, David told me I'm going to hell. Coming judgment. Friends, there's one thing that makes the gospel message sting. It's the coming judgment. And if your gospel is just about a man named Jesus, but it does not include righteousness and self-control and judgment, it isn't the gospel. Felix understands that the gospel is defensible, that Christians, to one degree or another, if they're following the Bible, are blameless. Felix understands that the gospel is desirable, but the third truth that God reveals to Felix about the gospel is that the gospel has demands. The gospel has demands. Now, please hear me carefully. I am not suggesting in any way or teaching in any way that you follow a set of demands and then you become a Christian. I'm not suggesting in any way that you can earn your salvation, that you can merit your salvation, that you can contribute to your salvation in any way, shape, or form. You can't. But what does the gospel call us to? A cross-carrying life. A cross-carrying life. The gospel commands us to lose our lives so that we can gain them. This is where people get off the bandwagon. You know that. You've had conversation with friends and family. They're more than willing to talk about the Bible until you start talking about the cross-carrying life. Please let your eyes rest upon verse 25 once again. Look at the sad words that Felix speaks. Go away. Go away. Felix was alarmed. He trembled. He was scared. He had never heard this before. Righteousness. Self-control. Judgment. Who wants to think about hell? Nobody. It's scary. And so Felix speaks these fateful words. Go away for now. When I have time, we can talk more. Friends, I remember a time in my life, a two-year span in my life, where I didn't want to live in righteousness and self-control and think about coming judgment. And to my shame, I remember in my teenage years saying to someone, I'll get to that point where I'm following God. Like, I'm planning on it. But right now, I just kind of don't want to. And all the while, having this confidence that I was a believer. Go away for now. Go away, God. Later. Later. When I have more time. I sat with a friend of mine. We had just gone out for breakfast. He had been following God, had made a profession of faith in Christ, and then had no spiritual pulse whatsoever. Church, the Bible, anything. And I said, "What happened?" His response to me was, I think I'm just still figuring things out. Knowing that perhaps this would be the last time that I would speak with him, I said to him, you know what? There's a lot of people in hell right now who were just still figuring things out. Are those true words? You better believe it. Go away, God. Yet I do not know when my soul will be required of me. How dangerous is that? How dangerous was I to say, I'll follow God later? How dangerous is Felix to say, go away for now, and when I have time, I'll consider you. Friends, the world is full of people who are curious about Christianity, who might even know that Christians are blameless, who in one way or another, the gospel is desirable to them. But when they see God's demands, they say, go away. Well, finally, what does Felix end up choosing? Verse 26, please. At the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. Friends, what was Felix's mind set on? Money. Money. A bribe. Felix was presented with true riches, the riches of eternal life, and he was so short-sighted. Friends, we are fools to amass wealth on earth only to burn in the lake of fire. Fools. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jesus asked in Mark 8:37, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? The world is after pleasure. The world is after satiating their flesh, satiating their eyes. Eve saw that the fruit was good to look upon. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. The children of Israel saw the daughters of the Canaanites. Achan saw treasure in a forbidden city. David saw Bathsheba. Hosea's wife Gomer saw sexual perversion. And Demas saw this present world. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Friends, it is a travesty that Felix chose a bribe over the blessing of eternal life. And so the fourth way that God revealed the gospel to Felix, the gospel means delayed gratification. The gospel means delayed gratification. Felix wanted it now. Felix wanted pleasure now. Felix wanted money now. Felix wanted what the world had to offer now. It was the shortcut to gratification. But friends, 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this, please listen, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Look there in verse 26. So he sent for him often and conversed with him. 2 years, Paul in his presence. What are they talking about? I can guarantee you what Paul was talking about. I don't know what Felix was talking about. Paul's talking about the gospel. 2 years. Jesus, faith in Christ, righteousness, judgment, self-control. Why does Felix keep having him come? Try to get the bribe. Do you remember what Paul said to Felix? He said, the reason I came to Jerusalem was because I was bringing alms from the churches. I brought money. So somehow Felix thinks that Paul has access to other funds. And it's his payday. It was actually illegal in the Roman world to take bribes, but it was all over the place. And so often what governors like this would do is that they would delay a case. They wouldn't rule on it, keep the person in prison. And it was just sort of this unspoken rule that you give the bribe. One of my friends, Ben Straub, he's been here. He's a seminary professor in Zambia, Africa. Zambia is big on bribes. When you go to get your driver's license, you don't pay a bribe, you're not getting your driver's license. You're coming back later. And the specific missionary organization that Ben was with and the specific school that Ben was with, they just had a blanket statement that we don't do bribes. And they wanted that to be their testimony in Zambia. And so he told me I went 4 times before I finally got my driver's license. I show up, I sit in a chair, you wait there for an hour. And they just tell you they're busy or they're out of the plastic to print the driver's license on or whatever. And everybody knows, unspoken, they're waiting for a bribe. And they finally told him, we're closing for the day. He comes back, they wait for the bribe again. Finally, we're not going to get money out of this guy. He's annoying us. We'll go ahead and do this. That's what Felix is doing to Paul, waiting him out. And all the while, he has the gospel in front of him. 2 years. 2 years. Friends, does it ever blow your mind that God was so patient with you, with me? Verse 27, this chapter ends in such a sad way. Felix was succeeded. Sad phrase. Time was up. Time was up. A new man walks onto the scene, Festus. That's the topic of our next sermon, Lord willing. But you see there Felix's final decision to leave Paul in prison. Now, according to Josephus, right toward the end of Felix's reign, actually what ushered in the end of his office as governor of Judea, was there was a skirmish between the Romans and the Jews. Between the Gentiles and the Jews in Caesarea. And Felix went in to squelch it. But when he did, the Roman soldiers made a little bit more bloodshed on the side of the Jews. And so the Jews sent a delegation to Rome to seek to have Felix removed. And they were successful. And so, as his last act as governor, in order to ingratiate himself to the Jewish people, he decides to leave Paul in prison. And so he chooses politics over faith. I don't know if there are any Felixes here today. Perhaps you are here or you're watching or listening. Jesus seems defensible enough. Christianity seems defensible, seems blameless enough. Maybe it's even desirable as a curiosity to you. The prophecies and the miracles and the teachings that all seem to make sense. But you don't like the demands or the delayed gratification. You're after this world. The message that I have for you is that God is still being patient with you. There is still time. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And so, friend, God waits for you. But there will come a time when God's waiting will run out. And so I ask you, if you are in that boat, if you have never said, Lord, I want to turn from my sin. I want to turn from ruling my own life. And I want to turn to Jesus as the ruler of my life, as the savior of my soul. If you've never done that with the Lord, then I would just ask you this question. What would you give in exchange for your soul? I pray that today would be the day that you say, nothing. Nothing. I wouldn't exchange it for anything. I give it to Christ. I pray that today would be the day of your repentance. That you would lay down your pride and that you would claim the righteousness of Christ and say, Lord, I want the cross-carrying life. Friends, what do we learn from these verses? Because if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we walk away and say, that was a really sad story about Felix. Those last few verses in Acts 24, that was all about Felix and, you know, his decisions. Wrong. If you walk away from the story thinking that was about Felix, that the ultimate point of this story was that Felix rejects Christ, we're missing something. When I look at God's word, it is not about man. It is about God. It is always about God. And friends, this story is about God's grace to give his gospel and God's patience with men. God in his grace gives the gospel to the world. And God in his patience waits. Friends, perhaps the greatest apostle of all time met with Felix on a regular basis talking about faith in Christ. How much more patient can God be for 2 years? And that speaks to the goodness of God, to the patience of God, to the grace of God, to the mercy of God, and to the folly of man. I had an unbelieving friend named Brian in Michigan. I would talk to Brian about the gospel. He would listen. One day we were on the phone and we got in deep. I shared the gospel with him and then I got into righteousness and self-control and coming judgment. And I said to him, I said, Brian, can I just tell you, man, I know why you won't accept Jesus. He said on the phone, why? And I said, because you know it would change your life. You know that you don't get to do the things that you want to do anymore. You know that you can't talk the same way that you talk. You know you can't do the same activities you want to do, and that's why you don't want him. Brian responded with something that I've never heard anyone say. before and never again since. Apparently, he was sitting in a chair in his home, and light was coming through the window at sunset. And he goes, David, just as you're saying this right now, the suns came into my face at this really weird angle. And there's this brightness. Now, I wasn't all creeped out, but he's clearly communicating to me that he thinks God's communicating to him. In other words, he's trying to express in the way that he knew how, I think you're right. And that's as far as it went. He seemed to take it as a sign, but when it came to that change of life, the phone call was over very quickly. And so, friends, from this passage, I leave you with this today. Would you leave here just thanking God for his patience in your life, for his grace in giving you the gospel, that he waited for you and for me? Let's pray. Father, we come to a story like this and we have sadness in our hearts over Felix. And yet we charge you with nothing. How could we charge you with anything, Lord? You are a patient God. You could have, should have wiped us out. And yet you wait. And the only reason that we get to have another Sunday morning today is because you're still waiting. And so we walk away from a passage like this and we just simply say in our hearts, we rejoice. Thank you, God, for your patience with the lost. Thank you for your patience with me. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.